like to say good morning to everyone. We're very thankful this morning to have each and every person on the call, especially those who may not be members of the Church of Christ. We thank you so very much for joining our call this morning. We pray you come on with a mind to receive with meekness God's word, which is able to save your precious soul. Believing that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary, shed his blood that'll wash your sins away in baptism, the same blood purchased his church, the Church of Christ, only church you ever read about in the Bible. And if you want to be saved, you got to obey that gospel. I render your body to be buried with him in baptism. Rise to walk in newness of life. And then to our brothers and sisters across the nation who may be joining us, we appreciate you joining the Church of Christ in Highland Heights program, services via conference call. We thank you for joining us, and we pray you will be blessed by doing so. And then to the members of Highland Heights, we're so thankful to have each and every one on the call. We're praying for each other. The prayers have been good. Everything's been so special this morning. Good to hear new voices doing things that are on our service. And so thankful for those who are organizing and making this all happen. We're nearing the finish line with the building, and soon hopefully we'll be able to see each other face to face and continue to be able to share God's word, not only via conference call, but via YouTube Live. We'll be live streaming. We got Facebook Live. We're going to have all different kind of options because the building is a 21st century remodel with everything in it to give us more options for outreach. And so we'll be coming back to you as we are preparing to start discussing to return to the building. So we thank you for your prayers and your patience. And we don't know when that's going to be, but hopefully in the near future. I can't say a definite date at this time. So thankful to have each and every person again on the call this morning. And appreciate the brother who served with me this morning so far, and appreciate those who will come on after the call, do an invitation and things like that. Appreciate the songs and prayers and everything that's been done this morning. Now, as we study this morning, the sermon this morning is entitled The Prize of the High Calling. The Prize of the High Calling, one of the more special sermons as we studied the book of Philippians, Paul being in a prison cell, wrote some of the most encouraging words to the congregation there in Philippi. Now, we looked at all the way up to chapter 3, and last week we learned that Paul counted everything he had gained as a Jew, but lost to gain Christ. And then at verse 11, when we picked up, he said, "But if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Now, here Paul, the Apostle Paul said, "If by any means I." Now, one thing I want to point out in this particular chapter is Paul talks a lot about himself. He said, "I." So when it comes down to a spiritual focus, when you're trying to get to heaven, you got to have an I mentality. You got to think about everything you're doing that you might attain. Paul said, "If by any means I might attain, being a partaker of the resurrection." There will be a resurrection of the dead, as we talked about last week, a resurrection of the dead in Christ. There will be a resurrection of life, according to John 5, verse 28 through 29, and there will be a resurrection of damnation. Jesus has said this, whether we believe it or not, it's going to happen. Every man, woman, boy, child, should want to, by any means, attain the resurrection of life. What is the resurrection of life? To hear him say, "Well done, that good and faithful servant, into the joys of life." That's when you get your prize. The prize is a prize of the high calling. Damnation is a low call. Hear him say, "Depart." It's going to be a dreadful day in the lives of many. Someone sent me a video. Somebody said yesterday, death is just when you go to sleep and stop dreaming. Well, that's only if you don't believe the Bible. But the Bible teaches us totally different from that. You can try it if you want to. But there will be a resurrection according to Jesus of damnation. There's a soul to save, you all. We have a soul to save. And that's why we want to reach for this prize in the high calling. Paul says in verse 12, "For not as though I had already attained," there's that I again, "either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may obtain that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He's talking about himself. And Paul is leaving us a grand example of the importance of understanding where you are in your spiritual walk with the Lord. Paul knew he wasn't there. He knew he was not perfect, meaning complete, meaning that he was at a point where he didn't need Jesus or the blood of Christ. But he's saying, but I follow after. Paul says, follow after means I'm pursuing. You follow after what, Paul? What are you pursuing? If that I may apprehend, same as lay hold or grab. Lay hold to what? That which for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now this apprehension, what happened to him on the road of Damascus, where Paul was chosen when he was kicking against the prick, he was chosen as apostle out of due season. He had a mission God put him on. Paul is saying here, I am pursuing. I am continuing to pursue this that I may lay hold on eternal life. Paul said, I want my prize. I want my prize. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to lay hold on eternal life. He was called to help the Gentile. He's trying to get there himself and bring as many people as he can. That should be our mindset, that we want to get to heaven first. We're going to try to bring as many people as we can with it. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou also are also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. But Paul encouraged young Timothy, the pursuit of eternal life is a fight. He required fighting the good fight of faith. How many on the call this morning are fighters? Are you fighting to lay hold on eternal life? What are you fighting against? The wiles of the devil. The fight is against evil. The fight is against not being caught up in sin. We have to stay with the Lord. Paul said that. He said, I'm doing it. I'm pursuing. I'm after this prize, and I am too. I don't know about you, but if you're on the call this morning, and if you listen to me, you should say, I am too. You should say, I am too, Brother Brooks. I'm trying to get there. I'm not a perfect. None of us are, but we're not going to give up. We're not going to give up. We're going to keep going. We're going to apprehend. We're going to try to get there. So because Jesus done his part, he didn't give up. He walked that street of God. I mean, he walked the streets of Jerusalem. He carried his cross. He went all the way to the finish line. He died and resurrected with all power in his hands. And if Jesus fought, Paul fought, Peter fought. I'm fighting. Are you fighting? I'm fighting. He said, Brother Brooks, I'm fighting. I said, me too. I'm fighting. I ain't going to give up. I ain't going to ever quit trying. If I do something wrong in my mind, that's the way I feel about it. I feel that strong about it. If I leave the Church of Christ, if I leave that straight and narrow way, if I quit preaching the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, if I quit preaching the one church, the Church of Christ, I know something that went wrong with my mind. And so those of you who know me, if you see that happen, you say, Brother Brooks has lost his mind because that's what done happened. Well, I'm trying to get to my prize. And I know I can get my prize. And I want my prize. I keep talking about me, because this is what Paul was doing. I want my prize. I don't count. Paul said in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul said, I'm not there yet. But this one thing I do. One thing Paul said he'd do to get his prize. This is a very important point of this lesson. Forgetting those things which are behind. That forgetting, not a loss of memory, is the elect to come into my day. Neglect the things of my behind, about past, that are behind me, to come into my day. If we can learn this, we can learn that what happened yesterday. What happened yesterday, we have no control of it. We can't change none of it. Yes, we've made mistakes in our past. Sure we have. That's why when we got baptized, God said through that, through his word, your sins I will remember no more. I didn't say other people won't remember. People may remember. People may bring them up into their conversation. And you can remember your past. But Paul is saying one thing he did to get to this prize. I will not let that past come into my day. Why, Paul? That's all I have. All we have is right now. You can't have yesterday back. You can't have the future. Paul said, but I'm going to reach. In other words, he's reaching towards something. He said, reach forth unto those things which are before. Paul said, there's a reaching necessary, but I got to forget. There's a forgetting, and then there's a reaching. There's a forgetting. Forgetting, neglecting. Don't bring it into my day. My mess up yesterday. Reaching forth to those things which are before. There's a reaching. What comes to my mind right now is a racetrack. Those who run races. You always see them running hard to the finish line, and they get close to finishing. They always reach to cross first. They're trying to get there. Trying to get there first. I want to cross that finish line. And Paul said, I'm trying to go. I'm reaching to those things. I know what's out there. In the terms of what God has said, there's a heaven to win and a hell to miss. There's a prize, brothers and sisters. We got to ride. We got to run. We have to fight to get that prize. And that prize is the prize of the high calling. Paul knew that all he did in his past, he was a persecutor of Christians. He did everything ignorantly. That's what he said. Paul said, I did some things that I'm not proud of. And then because he's not proud of, Paul said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to let those things come into my day. Paul, when he was down praying, God sent Ananias to him. And Ananias told him, Acts 22:16, arise while tarrying. What are you waiting on? You want to get on this racetrack? You got to be baptized. He told him to be baptized, wash away your sins. What sins were Paul washing away? You remember he said he persecuted the church. You remember he said he was the chief of all sinners. You remember that? Paul said that. I went over that last week. How Paul said he was the chief of sinners. But he thanked God. He thanked God because God gave him a way back. Paul knew that he had done made him a lot of mistakes. But he said that God had mercy on him. He was thankful that God had mercy on him. Are you thankful that God has had mercy on you? That he's given you a chance this morning to get back, as was said in the prayer. This day wasn't even promised to us, y'all. But God gave us this day. He gave us this day that we might fight to lay hold on eternal life. That we may get our prize. And it, no matter what we've done, as Paul, seeing himself as a blasphemer, a persecutor, he obtained mercy. Because he did it ignorantly. What do you mean? When you don't know what you're doing, God will give you someone to tell you what to do. You can do, if you're on this call this morning, and you're going through a dark time in your life, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need forgiveness. You need to know that everything in your past can be washed away. That's right. You can be saved. Paul said this, one thing I do. That's the one thing that many of us don't do. The one thing many of us don't do, too many of us, including myself, as a Christian, we look back. We look back. We keep living in our past. You can hear it in our conversations. Many people, worst thing they've done is they can't forgive themselves. God done forgave you. Maybe you wasn't the mama you wanted to be. Maybe you wasn't the wife you wanted to be. Maybe you're not the husband you want to be. In your past, you wasn't the man you wanted to be. Maybe you wasn't the Christian you wanted to be. Maybe you want a new beginning. The reason why you're living in your past is because your focus is on your past. What your focus need to be on is now. Where are you doing now? Where are you at today? Are you in the Lord? Have you been born again of the water and the Spirit? Are you a faithful member of the Lord's church? Are you facing the fact that one day, you have to answer to God. You will have to answer to God. We're going to have to answer to God. And the way we get this thing right is we keep, stop living in the past. You've never seen anyone drive a car, look in the rear view mirror, and go anywhere. No, those things are behind you. Those things you passed up is behind. You can't go back. Know your imperfections. Let go of your spiritual pride. Reach reach for new spiritual heights. It's 2022. Look at the world we're living in. Look at what's around us. Isn't it time for us to stretch, to reach, to grow spiritually in 2022? The idea of stretching for the finish line is in terms of someone who's planted on the only thing they can see is the prize. Brothers and sisters, if we look at our lives, Lord, let me live to see the 18th day of this month, I'll be 62. There's a lot in the past to get here. Now, look around on people who were in their 60s when I was in my 40s or in the 80s. I look at people who, when I was in my 40s, they was in their 20s. And now they're in their 40s. You say, what's changing? Just look at it. Look at us. We're changing. The body's changing. Their hair color's changing. Their eyes are changing. Everything is changing. We're not going to live forever. It's not going to happen. We're headed for a long home. That's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. That all of us, through that whole text that he was talking about, how our eyes are dimming, we can't see like we used to, our legs are trembling. The doors of the street, the mouth, the teeth are wearing out. The voice is growing low. Our ears are getting worse. And somebody said, well, I'm living, you're young. You don't see a lot of this going on, but it's starting to happen. And we, Solomon said, what was happening is we headed back home. We came in a fetal position. And as we get older, we go back to the position. The fetal position as a baby. God designed us to go back home. He designed this whole life as a life of eternity with him. The life that he longed for is to be with him and give us our prize. You know, I was talking to someone, they were like, why is it that you can live in this life, learn to love everybody. Love your mama, your husband, your wife, your children. To have to die later. To have to mourn. Because God's design wasn't for us to be up here. The design is to be together as a family with him, as his children. Because there's a civil court. It's going to be loose. There's a golden bowl that's going to have to break. There's a pitcher that's going to be broken at the fountain. A wheel that will no longer turn on the cistern. What's going on then? It's when the dust shall return to the earth as it was. And the spirit of our life shall return unto God who gave it. I'm quoting Ecclesiastes chapter 7, 12. And the verses 1 through the following verses. What is life to us, you all? Life, in this life, of all men, most miserable without Christ. This is a life where you pursue a relationship with God and you reach, you fight, you look for the prize of the high calling. We're going on. And we're going to mourn on those who go before us. But God has promised us a place where there'll be no more crying. That's what Paul said in verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. This idea of pressing is to make to run. If you think about it, when you get in your car, if you want to take off, he said, press the gas pedal. Press it to make it run. This is what the idea of this word press means. If you want to make something happen, say you want to stop, you got to press the brake. Say, press the brake. Press the gas pedal. Well, you got to make the move to make the stop. You got to make the move to make the forward lunge, because you got to move. There's some things we got to stop. There's some things we got to do in order to go toward the prize, for the mark, or the mark for the prize of the high calling. You know, Paul was saying to us, when this whole, a lot of his teaching was about Olympic running, pressing toward the mark. They come out the running block. They had to press against the blocks to take off. But in this run, there's going to be resistance, a wind resistance, if you will. If you're running into the wind, it's pushing against you. There are a lot of things going to push harder against us. It's going to require that we press. You got to set your mark. You got to look where you're trying to go, or you'll get distracted. You must push harder than your opponents. The opponent is the devil. There's spiritual resistance from the devil. We got to push hard when you're tempted to sin. James said in James 4, verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Here comes the resistance. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When you don't, we don't submit to God, brother, sister, unfortunately, we have submitted to the devil. Who have you submitted to this morning? Are you on the call this morning? You have to give your life to Christ. Why would you? You got resistance out there. This is the devil. But Paul is saying through this lesson to you, and through my lips, God speaks as he used me as an earthen vessel to preach his word. The Apostle Paul wrote, what I do, he said, I press toward the mark. There's a mark. The finish line. The prize is before us. We haven't got there yet. The prize is what will cause us to press. We got to push. We got to push hard to get to heaven. We're pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Are you pressing? Who on the call have given up? Brother, you have to give up. Sister, don't give up. There's a prize. And only those who press will make it home. Only those who press for the mark. And in Judges 20 and verse 16, there was some men there. 700 men. They were left-handed. They had slings. And the Bible said, among all the people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at a hair's breadth and not miss. That's a mark. That's a bullseye. We see some of them with an arrow. They put the bullseye. They're looking for the centerpiece of the bullseye. That's the mark. And sometimes you shoot, you hit to the left of the bullseye. Or to the right, you did hit the mark. So we're saying now, when it comes to our soul, we got to hit the mark. We got to hit the mark. We got to press toward the finish line. And no one can do it. Can pull the sling, can hit the mark, can shoot the arrow looking backwards. Can do it. There's a prize. How many of you, with your spiritual eye, has become one of those that's got their eye on the mark, and you like the meaning that when you sling your stone, it's a hairbreadth, you'll hit your mark. How will I know, Brother Brooks? Pressing. You know the mark that you're trying to cross. You know the finish line is ahead. Will you be a marksman to save your soul in 2022? Be a marksman for the prize. What is that prize? It's the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It was Jesus who said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. And Lord knows, many of us that are on this call this morning are going through trials and tribulations. You're going through trials. You're on the call today. You may be going through the trial of physical sickness. Your body is crying out. Your body is assured. There's a trial. There's a trial. We're going through sickness. But you got to keep your eye on the prize. You can't put your eye on the sickness. Watch the finish line. Someone going through troubles in their life, in your home, in your marriages, with your children. You're watching things around you seem to fall apart. Seem like things are not going to get better for you. Seem like when it rains, it pours. And you're on the call this morning. But there's an upward call. There's a high calling to you. The high calling is to call you through the trial of your life. Are you tried this morning? Are you a sister in Christ, a brother in Christ who's tried? Something's going on in your life. You want to cry. You know there's a funeral arrangement. You know there's things going on. There's a financial struggle. There may be the divorce court you're looking at. It could be your children that you don't know how the outcome is going to be. It could be you're concerned about the church. How are we going to be okay? Is everybody going to be all right? There's trials that we're all going through beyond what we ever imagined, some of us. But Jesus said it. You shall go through prison. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trial. You're going to get locked down. We should be thou faithful. Unto death, there is a finish line. There is a faithfulness required unto death. Not unto the day you die. But if it required now. And then he said, here come the upward call. I will give you the prize. I will give you a crown of life. How many of you want the crown of life? How many of you want your prize? The prize is the high calling. Jesus is calling all of us. He says, come unto me. All ye that labor and have been laden, and I will give you rest. There's a rest for our souls, not a rest in this life. He's talking about the prize. He's talking about the day of rest. The day of rest when we are there, when we were at the throne of God, when there be no more crime, and no more death, and no more hospitals, no more medications, no more pills, and no more trauma. Well, there's your prize. It's the why we are Christians. It's so we can get there. So Jesus stands and calls, come to me, come to me. He told his apostles, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house, of many mansions. I hope you're encouraged this morning to know that if you look at life, and you look at all your trials, and you look at all your tribulations, and you only focus on those, you're not pressing. Refocus, sister. Refocus, brother. Refocus, my friend, our visitors. Focus. What your focus is on, the mark, the prize of the high calling. Paul said this is an upward call. It's not a call from the devil. call from the devil is a call of disobedience, a call of immorality. But Jesus said, Hebrew writer said, Hebrew 5:8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. By things which he suffered, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to them that obey, all of them that obey him. The reward to all of those who obey. From the heart, the former doctrine that will save your soul. This is an upward call, y'all. It's a call from God. It's a call from sin. It's a call from the ways of the world. Paul says, I'm reaching. I'm going for the prize, Tom. I'm not going to look back. Because there's a prize. I got to go for my prize. And I'm going for my prize, church. I want my prize. And that means I have no mind to give up. Paul said this in verse number 15. He said, let us, now he brings everybody back into the picture with him. Therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. Every member that's listening to me at Hollow Heights, of listening to me as a member of the Church of Christ, whatever congregation you go to. Remember, the church is universal. Remember, heaven is for those who are saved in the church. Paul said, let us therefore be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Pause. Stop. Be perfect. Not perfect in the absolute sense. He just declared in verse 12 that he was not perfect, but a growth to a maturity and well developed. Otherwise, all of us are not at the same spiritual level, what he says. And if anything be otherwise, maybe you're not. Maybe you're a babe in Christ. Maybe you're just been introduced to the Church of Christ. Maybe you just started your journey. You still can get your prize. As a baby cries, as a Christian, but you got to press. You got to keep studying. You ought to go to the first prison, Brother Foreman. Learn everything you got to do. I'm going to give you a golden nugget of salvation, of truth, to be saved. You need to drink the milk. The main ingredient to development, to be mature, is a store of milk. The milk of the word. You need everything you can in the basic fundamentals of living the Christian life will cause you to press, to keep studying. And God will reveal to you through the scriptures how you grow beyond where you are at this present moment. Remember, everything we do as Christians is about now. The day you hear his voice, harden not your heart, Paul says. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Why now? Because all we got is now. All we got is right now, brothers and sisters. There was somebody that laid down last night and didn't wake up this morning. And there's somebody who woke up this morning that won't wake up tomorrow morning. Which puts in perspective the importance of us understanding what the Apostle Paul is trying to get us to see, that we got to deal with whatever comes in the moment. Whatever comes in our life, because you can't go back and change. You got to deal with whatever's coming in your life. It's a very important lesson, because if we don't, we won't get our prize. today is an acceptable time. How many of you do that? How many are able to live in today? The thing I've seen the most in many of my counseling with Christians is they're miserable over things they have no control over. We're trying to control things that are out of our control. I had a lady when I was minister, young minister in Arkansas. She came to me. She's an older lady. And she sat there and told me about her life, whatever was going on, and all the things her children were doing, and all this. She went for quite a while, and I didn't interrupt her at all. And I, she said, I need help, Brother Brooks. I said, let me ask you a question. You came in my office telling about everything everybody else is doing, and none of it you can change. None of it. But you're saying nothing about yourself. When you start controlling self, that's the best you can do. And I know for sure, there's some on the call even this morning, your stresses, your situations, in most cases, is related to other people's problems, other people's concerns. And I know as parents, how can we not be concerned about children? That's not what I'm talking about. Not concerned is okay. But to fall apart over something you can't control, that's out of your control, is not spiritual. Because God wants us to walk by faith. In other words, when we pray for our family, for our children, for other situations, we're praying because it's not in our control. And because it's not in our control, by faith, we trust God will take care of it. And then that's this evening. We can rejoice in the Lord always. Because there's a peace that's past understanding. No one can reach the mark for the prize unless they mature to this point I'm speaking of this morning. Paul says, nevertheless, verse 16, to the degree where we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. You see his transition from him as the example, as the prisoner in the dark dungeon. Trial is ahead of him. His death is ahead of him. He talked about him. And now he transitioned to talk about us. He said, nevertheless, mature Christians are a babe in Christ. You got to have your prize. You got to have your eye on the mark for the prize. And the way you do it is you walk by the same rule. And we mind the same things. What is the rule? The Bible is our rule. It's our measurement. It's our ruler. We walk by the same rule. And if you measure something and you use the ruler, it's going to be accurate. If you measure how to get to heaven, you can't measure it on what somebody said or thought. Your measurement will be walking by the same rule, meaning the Bible, the Word of God, will be your glory to reach your prize. And every one of us should have the same mind, that the God's Word will be the lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Brethren, Paul says, be followers together of me, mark them as walk so as ye have us for an example. Paul is encouraging them. Follow his example. All of us at Hollow Heights or all those listening today, identify or mark those who are living examples of a Christian. No, you don't know their heart. We talk about that Wednesday night. It's not for us to know the heart. It's for us to speak the same things, to walk by the same rules. And you can follow the example of a Christian who's walking by the rules of the Scripture. There are mature Christians. There are people who are really living this life. There are people among us at Hollow Heights that are faithful members of the Lord's church. Why? Their focus is on the mark. It's not on being messy. It's not on being someone who's always troublemaking, someone who looks for the negative and everything. That's not your example. Those are not the people I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the mark. I'm talking about people like Paul. Paul said, I do this. I did this. I'm attained. I'm working. I'm pressing. I'm doing it. Now y'all got to look at me. Paul said, how many on the call could say to someone, look at me? I'm trying to walk. I'm trying to get there. And so I say there are mature Christians in this world that are trying to get there. But Paul said, here's the opposite. Verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often. Paul said, something you know about. Now I tell you, even we, it hurts Paul to even say these people, for they are enemies of the cross, of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Paul warned us, y'all, in the beginning, last week we looked about the dogs. He talked about people who have left the church. Now Paul said, I tell you this, weeping. Paul, it ought to make us want to cry when we see people that are enemies of the cross. They're not spiritual. They're not forgiving. These people are not teaching the truth. Inside the church, outside the church. If you got any kind of heart, with love for Christ and for the church of Christ, it makes you want to cry. It hurts to preach against the world we live in, all the different churches on every corner, all the people teaching different things, all the false doctrine, all the people just telling people what they want to hear. It makes us want to cry. I preach the truth in love often. It hurts to have to say it. The enemies of the cross. Jesus even said it. Not necessarily intentionally, though. In Matthew 7:21, he said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he did do the will of my Father. Many will say to me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy your name, and your name done many wonderful works? But Jesus unfortunately says, in verse 23, I never knew you. You were workers of iniquity. In other words, you didn't follow the law of God. If we going to get to heaven, brothers and sisters, and visitors, we got to do it the way God has said do it in his word. And there are many out there. He's talking about there are people who end will be destruction. God is their belly. It's about what's best for them. It's because what their glory is, or earthly things. All of this is the mind of those who can't follow the scripture. It's your way and not God's way. This is why we have so much division in the religious world. So many churches with different doctrines. Enemies of the cross preach earthly things and not heavenly things. The eye not on the prize. The mark. They haven't set the mark for the prize of our calling. Jesus has given us the example that we can win, but it could be painful. It was painful for him. It was painful for him to go through the trials in the garden when he cried. When they whipped him with the whip. when they put the crown of thorns on his head, the story you've heard me tell over and over and over, the old, old story of how a Savior came from glory, I gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I know it was the blood. It was the blood of the cross. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light. The day of salvation is an acceptable time when you know your eye is fixed on the mark for the prize of the high calling. Paul said in Philippians 3:20 and 21, as I close, for our conversation, that word conversation means citizenship right there, is in heaven. That's our prize. But whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Brothers and sisters, there's a change coming. This earthly house, an old song, "Oh God, on me, can it?" We got to move. We got to leave it. Paul said it like this, if you turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Now this I say, brother, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit the corruption. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, as the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. Are you ready for your change? The first change is to hear his voice. 2 Corinthians 6:2. That's what Paul said. For he said, I've heard the end of time, except in the day of salvation have I secured you. Behold, now is acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, right now, is all you have. It's all we have. And the first change must be to change your mind on this call. If you're not a Christian, change your mind and become a Christian. Because the ultimate goal is for you to get your prize. And to get that prize, there will be a change from flesh and blood. There will be a change. There will be incorruptible. No more decay. There will be a change. But if you be born again this morning, that old man can die. The old man that's in you, the old sinner man, you make a decision to change your life, you will be able to make that change. And that's what we encourage you to do. Why would I encourage people to change? Because of the prize. The prize is the pride of the high calling. That's what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If therefore any be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. You got to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, Ephesians 4:22. There's a man that's old. That old man can pursue change. You can be better, my friend. If you believe that Jesus Christ hung, bled, and died on the cross, If you believe that without ever seeing it, because it comes from God's word. If you believe that he suffered for it to save your soul. If you believe in heaven to win and hell to miss, that you must believe in the command to be saved that came from Jesus, the Savior himself, in Mark 16:15-16, where he said, go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and he is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, that the gates of hell shall not prevail. The grave won't hold it. He built this church. That church, where is the name? It's called the Church of Christ. The name is Christ. The Church of Christ is the descriptive phrase denoting who the owner is. Those who are in the church can be called Christians and only Christians. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing else but a Christian. Will you change this one to become a Christian? That you may set your mark, the bullseye, on the prize of the high calling, to be a child of God, and to members of the Lord's church, you too can refocus. Stop living in your past. Forgive yourself of your mistakes. And always ask God to forgive you for not believing that everything you've done has been washed away. Stop living the life of misery, trying to change things you have no control over. And start walking by faith and pray to God who has the power to make the change. Who has the power to stop the pain. Who has the power to prevent you from living a life of shame. Why wouldn't you do that? As a mature Christian or as a babe in Christ, you can make your decision this morning by hitting 5-star on your phone and letting God ask for prayer. Pray to God. Ask for forgiveness. This is for members of the church. We've got to focus on the mark for the prize. And when you do that, you have faith. Hebrew writer said, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe. Notice this. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So many of Christians are not at peace. That's this afternoon. Because you're not walking by faith. If you want to call this morning, and you say, well, I'm not a member of the Church of Christ. Brooks, you mentioned, I'm talking directly to you. The only way you can be saved is to, number one, hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. That's that death, burial, and resurrection I've been preaching on this call. Know that he suffered and died for you. Believe that with all your heart. Acts 15:7. Number three, repent of your sins. God is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering, not willing that any of us should perish, but that we come to repentance. You've got to change your life. Repentance starts in the way you think. He said, Brother Brooks, I want to go to heaven. Well, you got to change. You got to repent. You got to ask God to forgive you. You got to start looking to the reaching, pressing toward the mark for the prize. Give your life to Christ this morning. Be willing to make that confession. You believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then if you hit 5-star on your phone, no matter where you are, you say, Brother, I want to be saved. I want to be this new creature. I want to get rid of this old man. I want a new life. I want to refocus. I want to live a life that's a life of faith. I want to reach toward the prize. I want to cross it one day. And I want to be able to see God's face in peace and see this place that's called heaven. Well, then be willing to confess you believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, number four. And after that, you got to be baptized, Acts 2:38, for the remission of sin. That's forgiveness. Acts 22:16, that your sins will be washed away. Revelation 1:5, that you contact the blood of Jesus. And Acts 2:47, once that sins are forgiven and washed away, you're now a child of God. You hold your breath going underwater, and when you come up, there's a new creature rising up. You'll take the first breath as a child of God when you come up out of the water of grave and baptism. That's the first breath you ever took as a child of God. But if you have not been baptized, you're not a Christian. You're not a child of God, and you're not walking by faith. Why don't you end that today by hitting 5 stars and say, I want to be that person. I see it, Brother Bruce. I want to be that person. All things have become new. Won't you let the Lord touch you? Let him touch your life. Let him touch your situation. You're the auctioneer. Auction off old violin. He was trying to sell that violin. He thought his violin worth a lot of money. No one would bid on it. And so there's an old man come to the front. He said, anybody want to bid on the? He said, ah, let me see the violin. And the old man took the violin. And the violin was dusty. And it was looked like it had been beat up and battered. And the old man took a cloth and started wiping the old violin. And then he tuned the strings on it. And he put it up to his neck and held it there. And he took and started playing that violin. And the people in the audience started listening to the beautiful song, the music that came from the old violin. And the auctioneer said, who about it? One said, I'll give $1,000. Somebody said, I'll give $2,000. Somebody said, $3,000. And the people said, why did the value of the violin go by? Cost that man. And they said, well, you see, the man that took it was a master violinist. It was touch of the master's hand that made the value of the violin. And if you see value in your life, the value to live, the value of faith, the value of being a Christian, the value of setting your mark, the value of getting the prize of the high calling will only happen we have a touch of the master's hand. And that touch is the master I'm talking about. Not a master violinist. But he's our master. Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you let him touch your life, do obedience to him this morning, you can rise to walk in newness of life. That's to the visitors and to the Christian. Won't you let him touch you by walking by faith, by accepting this life is filled with troubles and sorrows. Just understand that God is letting you be beat up and battered in life. But there's a master violinist who can touch your life. Clean it up. Retune your strings. Wipe off the dust. That you may sing the beautiful songs of Zion. And hear him say, one day, well done, that good and faithful servant. If you want to call this morning, and you want to make heaven your home, why don't you let God touch your life? If you want to call this morning, and you'll be crying because of sickness, because of health reasons, because of troubles, because of trial, Let go. And let go. Take care of that. And you focus that you may hit the mark for the prize. We ask you to come. Whether you want to be baptized, become a member of the Lord's church, or whether you want, who says, I've been touched by the Master of Healing. Now I can live to pursue happiness and joy in the Lord. If you're a member of the church, you need prayer, I ask you to do it now. If you need to be baptized, we ask you to do it now. If you need to make a confession, we ask you to do it now. As we sing the song of encouragement, hit 5-star and I'll facilitate it. We'll let you speak.